Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And on that site and from that site, you can find sermons and you can find these teachings the day that you hear this. It'll be right there on the front page. And if it's not or you miss a day, you can go into the archives and you can hear the messages, or you can hit our daily blog right there at the top. There's a menu, very simple. You hit that and there'll be a bunch of posts there that you can listen to and read at the same time. If you'd like a transcript copy of any of these, you can just cut and paste, post them right there, or you can even email us, pastorjd@voiceofvision.org, if you have any theological questions or want some a prayer request, or, if you want to donate to us or something like that, just give us your email. Let us know, pastorjd@voiceofvision.org. Again, you can visit us at Riverside Christian Fellowship. We're in Hernando, Florida. You can get directions and a map and all that right there at on top menu, say Riverside, and you can find out the missionaries we support and the ministries that we're involved in and all of that. There's a topical index where you can research, you know, just about anything that we've done. And so we're really excited about that. So make the best use of that, voiceofvision.org. Now today, friends, we are starting a teaching here that we're calling Connection. Connection. We're looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, as we do so often, and I'm going to read the verses 2 Corinthians 12:14 and 2 Corinthians 12:15. And Paul says, "I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Now, surely as Christians, we want to connect with people, but the best way to do that is to make sure we're connected to God first. Now, you know, people are going to, yeah, of course, you know, I got that. But hear me out. It's true that showing special interest makes people feel special and get special results in the most, you know, most point. Most often, if you give your best, it will bring out their best. However, you have to remember to be looking to give, not get. Otherwise, you will be disappointed. We often get angry because we feel we've been giving extra, but it went unrecognized. Is that you, friend? It happens to me. We need to heed the lesson God is teaching us through the Apostle Paul. You pour yourself out to people, but go further than the world would and pour out your expectations as well. That is learning of Christ as Paul had done. It's when we can be poured out, spent, and not appreciated that we connect with God in a very real way. It's not like we want this to happen, that we don't want people to recognize what we're doing, but there will be times when they absolutely will not. And then when we pour ourselves into it anyway, God will pour His Spirit out upon us. Paul says, "I seek not yours, but you." That is the testimony of every godly minister. They don't serve for what they can get from God's people, but for what they can give to God's people. Now, some think they're seeking to give, but they're still seeking to get. Not money, but recognition, approval, validation from men. Faithfulness is more important than friendliness. We do this by seeking to be connected to God, to be faithful to His Word, before we seek connection with men. You see, you can relate to other people rightly when you relate to God rightly, and most people don't actually believe that. They want to become friends with you before they try to connect you with God, or they want to get connected with God. But let me tell you something. A minister should be able to say that he's not seeking your approval, but seeking your improvement. Not seeking your approval, but seeking your improvement. That's going to lead, if you're ministering and you're thinking, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a Sunday school teacher, I'm not an evangelist, but we are all to do the work of an evangelist. And we're all prophets in the sense of we know the future of people. If they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, they go to heaven. If they don't, well, they don't go to heaven. And so we're all supposed to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us, 1 Peter 3:15. We're all supposed to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. But we got to learn to pour ourselves out even when we are faced with opposition. even when our efforts go unrewarded and unrecognized. Friends, this is what you do with your children. You want your children to love the fact that you love them and to learn to love you, but over time they learn to do it more, hopefully. But even when they don't stop being your children. You still do love them, right? You have the right kind of burden for them. You're going to pour yourself out no matter what, if you're a good mommy or daddy. Well, this leads to the right kind of burden, a burden to build in the right way if you're a minister. Some can build the number of members, but God wants to build the members in our numbers. Some focus on church growth, but God wants to focus on people growth, not numbers, but godliness. Not the quantity, but the quality. Numbers can be wonderful if more are truly getting connected with God in a deeper way. However, chasing numbers just for the sake of more may mean more are connected overall, but not really percentage-wise, and not very deep either. It's a mile wide and an inch deep. And that leads to being led astray by chasing and feeding the monster of ministry. You know, we bring them all in with all these different things, and then we got to keep spinning all the plates before they all fall down. You know, if you are trying to control every situation, you're controlled by every situation. Before God is interested in any Christian's ministry, he's interested in the minister himself. Now, when someone's talking to you and you're really listening intently, they can usually tell, and they're eager to share more about themselves. You know, they can tell that you're actually paying attention to them. And so it is good to show interest. When you show interest, others become interested in a sense, and obeying God, it works a lot like that. If you're interested in his way, he shows you more of it more clearly. The more light that you walk in, the brighter that light will become. You know, you can look at Philippians 3:17 and around there, and you know that's true. I mean, why is God going to give you more light when you won't walk in the light that you have? Why won't he give you more light when you are walking in the light you have? He will. Now, God's the only one that won't ever ignore you when you truly seek him. When you pour out to God, he will always pour back on you. Now, in this passage we've been talking about, 2 Corinthians 12:14-15, most people know the passage because of the verses before that where Paul had a thorn in the flesh and it wouldn't go away. But there was more that was going on here. Even though these things were happening and Paul was pouring out, they were going after false apostles. And he was having to defend his ways before the Corinthians. And they had approved a false apostle. They had turned away from him. And Paul basically says, I'll tell you about great and marvelous things I've seen and done, things these super apostles can't even dream of, let alone demonstrate. Remember, he said, I've been traveled up to the third heaven, and I have things that I can't even talk about. So he's saying, look, I could tell you all these things that these super apostles don't have, and God hasn't rid me of this thorn in the flesh, and all you guys are running after false apostles, and you despise me, yet I still will be spent for you. I'll still pour out. That's what's going on, and that's what this is all about. They care about themselves, I care about you, and the poor among you. That's why I collect funds, for them, not me, because they were saying, why are you trying to get money? And he was saying there's a reason for it, unlike these super apostles that say, you know, pay us for our ministry. And it's not wrong to, you know, the laborer is worthy of his hire. But he's saying, look, there's a difference between them and me. If you didn't pour out to them, they sure wouldn't pour out to you. But even if you don't pour out on me, I will pour out to you. See, here we see Paul poured out, and even doing so, if it meant they loved him less. It says in verse 15, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, though I be poured out like a drink offering upon the sacrifice of your faith, I will rejoice with you all, and I expect that you rejoice. But here in 2 Corinthians, he says, even if I do this and you don't do anything back, I'm still going to pour out because God wants me to, and that's the Spirit of God empowering him to do so. He was meeting God in a special way, though his health was declining, and though his influence seemed to be declining, and they were actually turning upon him, and he had done all this wonderful stuff for them. Paul said he's going to be poured out even if doing so meant they loved him less. He will keep spending even if they don't spend. He will keep pouring in even if it seems unfruitful to him. We can give, and give in any number of ways, but do we resent it when we give or serve? A good measure of this, a good way to measure this, is to see our reaction when our service is unappreciated. Boy, I could just stop there and go and feel the chills over the radio and in my own spine, because I don't like it. But here Paul says, this is the way. Imagine Paul getting a thorn in the flesh, having these people that don't have real power by the Holy Spirit saying they're somebody and Paul's nobody because he's sick. And then he's pouring himself out and they're not really, yeah, big deal. But Paul says, I'm going to do it anyway. Even if I love you more and more and you love me less and less, that just means I'm going to fill up the gap and love you more and more and more. But how about us? Do we resent it when we give or serve and it goes unappreciated? If Paul's service was unappreciated by the Corinthian Christians, he did not resent it. We need to learn to give where we can get nothing back. See, that's why, I mean, I can prove it to you. That's why we do hospitals and schools and orphanages and help out people that can't help us back. You know, the marginalized or the crippled or old people or things where it doesn't seem like we get anything back, but we get treasures in heaven and the Spirit of God, and we show them that we love them. That is the love of Christ who died for us while we were yet sinners. That is being like Christ, and that's a gracious thing, and that's the power of God coming into your life. But we often don't realize it, do we? Because we want something on the front end, don't we? We need to learn to give where we can get nothing back, to lay up treasures in heaven, to trust God that He is watching our labor. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, and Paul is basing it on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, my brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your work is not in vain. We got to learn to give even when we get nothing back, because it lays up treasures in heaven, to trust that God's watching our labor. Paul cared about God firstly and was poured out to him, and that is how he stayed connected even through the trials of the thorn of the flesh and the anguish of being turned away. Now what's worse, the pain of the physical, or suffering the anguish when you try and help someone else and they despise you for it? We know what the truth is. It's the latter. For example, when your children turn from you, or think of Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, or Paul understanding what the sovereignty of God meant in dealing with the Jews. Would you do it then? Would you serve God anyway, even if it meant He didn't rescue you, didn't revive you, didn't restore you, and didn't reconcile you to your loved ones? Well, that is the place where God works. That is part of the fellowship of His sufferings. Is He worth it? Yes, He surely is. And when you can get to that place, you will see God work like no other way you've known. Pleading prayer is a start. Paul pleaded for the thorn to go away, but it wouldn't, and he still was willing to sacrifice for the Corinthians. He didn't say, well, God's not healing me, I'm going home. Even though God did not help him in the way he wanted, and those he was called to minister to even turned on him, he still served. That is consecration. That is powerful. That is like Christ, and the Holy Spirit is living through you, connecting you to God's heart. That's how Jesus was. That's how Paul was, and how I hope to be, and what I'm encouraging you to be like, poured out. This is the example I'm exhorting you to follow. Now, I'm no Apostle Paul, and Paul was only a shadow of Jesus Christ. It is Him we look to as our ultimate example, and it is only Him that can empower us to live this way. He will do it if we will get connected. Friends, that's all the time we have for today. We're going to see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. Get connected. God bless you.
Oh, yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where I'm always gonna be, right here at the right hand of the Father of life.
We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.